What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
League of Ireland late night
on Off the Ball.
Anyways, give me 2 minutes to talk about Shales. Remember Gareth McLean coming on here before? What if Derry go ahead of Shales? And I remember saying to him, Derry haven't won anything.
League of Ireland late night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces. You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast,
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Yeah.
Hiya. I'm Carol here from Off The Ball Breakfast. Now, you usually don't hear from me. I'm busy making the show look and sound good. But I'm here to bring you a brand new bite-sized chunk of Off The Ball Breakfast. I'm going to tell you what we've learned from this week's show, and I'll bring it to you every Friday afternoon. So, let's get into the first one. It's been a week full of Olympians on the show, and the first thing we learned is just how dedicated you need to become an Olympic medalist. Bronze medal rower Dara Lynch joined us in studio to explain.
I just saw some guys rowing down the rowing club because you can walk over the bridge and see them all out rowing. And I said I might as well go down and give it a go. And then I'd say within a week, yeah, I just loved it. And like I got the first year of rowing, I really enjoyed the sport, but like it takes a while to get into rowing because it's quite technical. And then I think my second and third year, like I got like a bit obsessed with the whole thing. I got my own rowing machine. I put that like in a room downstairs in our house, and then like my schedule went pretty mad. So fifth and sixth year, I'd wake up like I had my timing down to a T, where I'd wake up like 5:48 a.m. to be in school, like right in the bell. And the teachers would always give out that I was always in late, but like the 5:48 alarm. 26k on the rowing machine, which is like an hour and 45 minutes. Go to school all day, come back, eat dinner while I was studying, because I was obviously in my leaving cert. And I was studying until about 6:30, then go down again, train till from 6:30 about 9, which would be another 26k, and then weights 3 times a week on top of it. And then come back, eat. I had pancakes every night for dinner for a head of supper, and then eat that, and then straight to bed, yeah. So it got a bit intense, and like, yeah, he didn't really have much of a life.
I mean, my alarm goes off at 4:30 every morning, and I don't see anyone singing my praises. Continuing with the rowers, 2-time Olympic champion Fintan McCarthy tells us just how much rowing you need to do in a week to win gold. And Apollo Donovan does even more.
The rumours about you guys are that you go all guns, all the time, all gas, no brakes. That's what, And that's what we've heard, is that you guys really, really crush it, like again and again and again at the highest speed you possibly can. And we've even heard that you're racing against the heavyweights and it's pretty intense. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. The rumors are true, guys. like, obviously, we are still pretty scientific with it. You know, I don't think we're doing anything without like a proper purpose, but we do tend to push the limit. So if it's going to be that lower intensity, you know, there's a large amount of it. And then the higher intensity stuff, we do sort of push the limits in terms of either intensity or duration. Like we'll go pretty long at a pretty high intensity, or else we'll really hit it hard if they're a bit shorter. So it's worked for us before. I think it was just that during the winter we were really, you know, I mean, I was doing a lot more than I was doing more than I knew of anyone else ever doing, and Paul was probably doing more than me. so it was, I guess it was an exercise in like finding the limits. And the thing was, it was working for a long time. Like I was seeing really good results from training, and my speeds were getting better every week. But it was just kind of, you know, when it was fine till it wasn't. And then I was sort of getting sick, and I had a back injury for a while. So it was I guess that was sort of the wake up call that I need to rein in a small bit. But I think we were still doing like a decent amount once I got back. It was just the case of sort of building back up to it and yeah, being a bit more clever.
When you say you're doing more than you knew anybody was doing, and Paul doing a little bit more than that, what sort of numbers are we talking here? Is it just pure miles?
Yeah, a lot of mileage. And then
like what?
Within that mileage, there'd be like intensity.
Right.
So in terms of numbers, I think my biggest week this year was like around 400K. I probably only did that once or twice. I know Paul was probably hitting close to that or more a lot of weeks. But yeah, around kind of 350 to 400.
Over how many days?
That's so, over in a week.
So like you'd be training every day?
Yeah, so that's 7 days.
So it's just 57 kilometers every single day?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm sure you're all running to the rowing machines now to get ready for LA. Fintan was great, and that full interview is available now in the OTB Daily podcast feed. So, we all know you're not a true Olympian until you get the tattoo. We learned where Irish Olympic boxer Jack Marley will get his when he dropped into studio this week.
Delighted to say Jack Marley, Olympian, is with us. Jack, have you got your tattoo of the rings yet?
No, I have not. I was only actually talking to my tattoo man there yesterday, trying to think where to put it, but I'm not going to rush it anyway.
No, it's that type of thing you want to make sure you get it in the right place?
It's not
on the arm, right?
A lot of people get it on the bicep.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the bicep. I like somewhere just out of the way.
More subtle.
Yeah, like I have a tattoo of the map of Ireland on my back. And
right.
I never really see that. Too much, so when I do see the photos, I do like you.
When will you get it done? Like, is it a soon enough type thing, or a couple of years, or
no? It's on me for the rest of my life, so I'd like to put a bit of thought and effort into it.
Yeah,
thing is, David Gillick has his obviously on his bicep, and when everybody stops to do interviews with him in the stadium, he just kind of like, oh, the polo shirt has just come up just a little bit. Come speak to me, Femke Ball, because I'm also an Olympian.
No, I know a couple of people like that, but some people would get it on their forehead if they could. but no, I'm going to put a bit of thought and effort into it and try and hide it away.
Were you playing five-a-side against the Cubans?
I was indeed.
How was that?
It was four-a-side, actually.
Was it? Yeah.
And between them.
It was your video, was it?
I took a video, and just as I was walking past, Zor was walking past, and I said to him, what do you think, and he went on about how good Grania is and stuff, but it was 4v4, and between them four Cuban boxers, they had five Olympic gold medals, and one bronze.
But they're shit at football, right?
No, they beat us, like, so I can't say anything.
Not sure if you've heard, Jer was in Paris for the Olympics. Maybe he should get that tattoo. On Thursday, Jared brought us his You Had to Be There moments from Paris and told us about seeing Irish winning goals and witnessing some of the greats like Rafa Nadal, Steph Curry, and of course, Simone Biles. But what we learned from this chat is whether or not you can enjoy these moments live and film them at the same time.
Biles is just ridiculous. Like, you can't explain, and actually, you can't, the naked eye cannot see everything she's doing when she does the vault. I have the phone out and making sure that it's there, and I'm recording while I'm watching. So she says, "Oh, what are you doing? You're watching football." I'm not. You're recording, and
has someone given you grief for that?
Everybody gives you grief anytime you film something.
Everyone.
You just experience it instead of what's wrong with you?
Do you not get that?
Well, do you know what? I finished telling your story. I was just going to say that I had like a personal. Dilemma. I actually had to think. I had a moment of solitude before the 100 meter men's final. I was like, how am I going to do this? Am I going to watch this or am I going to film it?
Yeah.
And of course you can do both.
Well, when you're in the press box, all you do is like, you have your little rest here and like, just make sure that it's filmed and it's like, it can get the whole thing. And I had to send it all home to my daughter because she's a gymnast. So I was like making sure I filmed the four routines. So I had to. And you can't see how amazing it is in person because it's so fast. It's like split second, it's over. And that, again, that just led to the pressure on Reese. It's like 40 seconds, game over. And you win or lose, and that's it. And with Biles, it's like, on the vault in particular, it's so ridiculous. So, yeah, that was incredible.
Finally, now, rugby fans, the season is still not quite started yet, but the Southern Hemisphere sides are in action. Gregor Paul of the New Zealand Herald explains what we've learned so far about Jordy Barrett's form ahead of his move to Leinster.
Can I just ask you a very quick one, Gregor, on how Jordy Barrett is looking? Obviously, he's due to move up here in December. The expectation or the absolute fact of the matter is that he's going to be with Leinster for half a season. How do you see that going for him? How do you see that going beyond those 6 months and the outlook of his career over the next couple of years?
Probably brilliant for him. I know there was a bit of resistance in the New Zealand rugby hierarchy, the All Black hierarchy, for him to do it because, you know, they sanction these deals that other guys have taken, but they go to Japan, and it correlates with Super Rugby, and it doesn't knock them around as much as going to Ireland. So the challenge for Jordy is going to be coping with that physicality and intensity of rugby that he's going to find up there after he's already played 12 months down here in New Zealand. At the moment, he's actually been probably one of the most disappointing All Blacks of the year. He's looked really flat. He hasn't, he looked a bit lost on Saturday night, which is very unlike Jordy, because probably at the World Cup, him and Bundee Aki were the two best 12s. He's gone, I don't know whether he's just struggling to find himself in a new coaching regime, whether they're using him in a different way, but he's looking a wee bit flat. And I think maybe hopefully 6 months of rugby in Ireland might rejuvenate him.
So that's just some of the things we've learned from this week's Off the Ball Breakfast. You can listen to the full interviews now in the Off the Ball app by becoming a member at offtheball.com/join. And don't forget, you can catch all of Off the Ball Breakfast for free by tuning in each morning at 7:30. You can watch on our YouTube channel or listen to us on OTB Sports Radio, which streams live on the Off the Ball app. We'll be back Monday morning at 7:30 with all the reaction to the opening weekend of the Premier League season. We'll catch up with even more of our returning Olympians. And of course, we'll have the latest performance rankings. Have a great weekend.